You change your outside first, and the inside follows. But let me start. Here's the story of a certain school lunch lady. So imagine the cafeteria. You all have been here before. Imagine the cafeteria, the students going through the line, receiving their food every day. And this lunch lady had a problem. You see, every single day she would set out at the beginning of the lunch line a big basket full of apples. And she was very exact with this. There was one apple for each student. And every student knew they were supposed to take exactly one apple, and yet every single day, the apples would go missing, right? The students were taking more than their share. And this frustrated the lunch lady to no end, because there was no fruit left. There were no apples left for the students at the end of the line. Well, the lunch lady had an idea. She thought that she could make her students obey her by reminding them that you can never really get away with a sinful act. Someone's always watching. And so the lunch lady, one day, she placed a small note in front of the basket of apples which said, "Take only one. Remember, God is watching." Well, the day goes on, and lunch starts, and the lunch lady is actually very pleased because her plan seems to be working. At first, the apples last much longer than normal, and even by the time everyone gets through the line, there's an apple there for the very last student in line. And so she's just so pleased with what she has accomplished. Everything's gone just as she wanted. At least she was pleased until she started cleaning. And as she goes up and down the lunch counter, she goes down to the other end where there was a plate of cookies that had been set out for dessert. And on the plate of cookies, she sees that someone else has placed a note which says, "Take as many as you want. God's busy watching the apples." Sometimes it seems it's much easier for us to change our behavior than it is to change our hearts. And that's what this lunch lady found out. She changed her students' behavior, but not their hearts. And this is what we often find in our own lives as well. You know, we all have our own problems. We all have our own challenges. And yet, we all have the desire to get away from those problems and challenges. We all have the desire. We want to live a transformed life. We all have the desire to wipe all the bad stuff out of our lives. We have the desire to wipe all this bad stuff out of our hearts so that we can live well. Because we want to live well, right? We want to live lives of wholeness. We want to live rightly. We want to live in harmony with the way that we have been created to live. But that transformation, that transformed life is elusive, right? It's hard for us to accomplish. None of us actually live that fully transformed life that we want to live. And so we struggle. And maybe we struggle with particular sins. Maybe there's a particular sin in your life that you can get away from for a while, but it seems like it always reaches out and pulls you back. Sometimes we struggle with setting good behaviors, with setting good habits and shaping our families and our lives the way that we want them to be. Sometimes we struggle to live lives of wellness and wholeness. And we continue to struggle because it's easier for us to change our behavior than it is for us to change our hearts. We realize that we won't live transformed lives until we ourselves have been transformed, inside in our hearts and outside in our actions as well. So this Easter season, we're talking about how Jesus died and rose, of course, but we're also talking about how Jesus frees us from the grave as well, because there are tombs in each of our lives. These tombs in our lives are places where sin and death hang on to us. These tombs are places where sin hangs on to us and prevents us from living that fully transformed life that we want to live, that prevents us from living that fully transformed life where we live as God wants us to live. And today we see how Jesus frees us from the tomb of shallow faith, that prevents us from living the way that God wants us to live. And instead, Jesus brings us to a place of deep faith instead, where we are fully changed inside and outside. So in our scripture reading from Luke chapter 11, what we see is the scene is Jesus is eating with some Pharisees and some experts in the law. And we read up in verse 38 at the beginning of the reading that the Pharisee Jesus is eating with, the Pharisee is surprised to see that Jesus does not wash himself before sitting down to eat. And let me explain that, because the Pharisee isn't just thinking about a simple hand washing like you or I might do if we've been working outside, if we've got dirty hands before we sit down to eat. The Pharisees of that day actually obeyed a whole comprehensive set of laws they had come up with. These laws governed their whole lives. And these laws were kind of based on God's law. They were based on the Ten Commandments and all the other commands of God in Scripture. But the Pharisees' commands actually went far beyond what Scripture requires of us. They actually multiplied these laws for us. So where God had summed up his law in 10 commands, that's the 10 commandments, the Pharisees had over 600 laws that they attempted to keep. It was a huge number. And they did this because they thought if they obeyed all of these extra laws, what they thought they were doing was they were kind of putting a fence around God's law. And the idea was that if I can keep all these other 600 laws, and that keeps me over here, then I'll never even get close to disobeying God's law here in the center. So they kind of had good intentions, but in the end, they wound up with a shallow faith. This Pharisee, then, he's astonished that Jesus doesn't stop before eating to perform a ceremonial washing. This was part of the laws that they had for themselves. So the Pharisee is astonished, and he asks Jesus about this washing. And in response, Jesus actually accuses the Pharisee. He accuses the Pharisee of living in this tomb of shallow faith. He says, it's not all about the rules. And so we read in verse 39, we can read where the Lord said to him, now then, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside, Jesus says, you are full of greed and wickedness. So Jesus accuses the Pharisees of focusing entirely on outward changes. They're focusing on behavior modification rather than seeking a real transformation of their heart. And so he continues, you foolish people, Jesus says in verse 40, you foolish people, didn't the one who made the outside make the inside also? But now, as for what is inside of you, Jesus says, be generous to the poor and everything will be clean for you. Woe to you, Pharisees. Woe to you, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice. You neglect the love of God. And Jesus says, you should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. So Jesus is giving an example of shallow faith when he's talking about tithing here. Because God does command his people to give a portion of their wealth, a portion of their income to him. We sacrifice to that Lord. The goal, of course, as we find in Scripture, is to give a tithe. The goal is to give a tenth of what we have to the Lord. And we practice this even today, right? We make a practice of giving a portion of what we have to the Lord. And what we're doing is we're making a habit of putting the Lord before our stuff, right? We want to keep that relationship in the right order. But Jesus says the Pharisees were going about it all wrong. Because this was back in the day when everyone measured their income, not in money as we do today, but most people measured their income in terms of bushels of wheat maybe, jars of oil, things they had collected and grown and collected from their fields. They lived in a society where most people farmed to support themselves. So the people often wouldn't donate money to the temple treasury. They would donate a tenth of their crop. So they would bring in bushels of wheat and grain to offer in that way. Well, now I have a question for us here. This is the context. How many of us are gardeners? Some of us? How many of us have ever tried growing one of those little herb gardens? You know what I'm talking about? They're about yay big. And you've got a little pot of soil, and you're growing mint or thyme or dill or something like that, something really easy to grow, and it's almost impossible to kill it. That's my kind of gardening, I'll be honest. So here's what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees. He's saying, you Pharisees are so concerned with obeying your rules. You're so concerned with obeying the rules that you bring in a tenth of your whole crop. As suppose you bring in a dozen bushels of wheat, a jar of oil to set on top, and then you bring in your mint. A tenth of my mint on top. A tenth of my garden herbs. It's an insignificant amount. It's an insignificant thing. He says you're paying attention to this minute detail just so that you can obey the letter of the law. And that's the image, is this whole tithe. And then we got to make sure we get the little bit on top, because that little bit, it's really insignificant, but we're all focused on how we can be exactly following the law. How can we take care of that 10% in every little detail? It's kind of like today when Christians ask the questions, you know, when I tithe, should I be tithing off of my net pay or my gross pay? Is it okay to just tithe off the check I bring home every 2 weeks, or do I have to go back and see what it was withhold and then tithe off of that too? And the answer I would say is, don't worry about it. Because if you're tithing off of either, you are so far ahead of the pack with regards to tithing, the details doesn't really matter. So this is not to say that keeping the law is bad, okay? This isn't even to say that we shouldn't pay attention to the details of keeping the law, because this isn't what Jesus condemns them for. You know, the problem here is not that the Pharisees are giving a tenth of their garden herbs. The problem is not that they're giving a tenth of their mint and rue and other things, as Jesus says. The problem, Jesus says, is their shallow faith. The problem, Jesus says, is they've let the rules and details take the place of real obedience and real transformation from their hearts. The Pharisees' shallow faith is all about obeying the rules, and they never seek a heart change as well. And again, Jesus said this. He said, "Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect the big things, justice and the love of God." He says, "You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone." And the result of this obsession with the rules is, obsession with the rules to even neglect the inward transformation. The result is, Jesus says a few verses later, he says, "Woe to you, because you're like unmarked graves. You're like graves which people walk over without knowing it." And so they're stuck in this tomb of shallow faith because they're pursuing outward change to the expense of the inward transformation that needs to happen as part of our lives of faith. They're stuck because they need a heart transformation in addition to their rule-keeping. And as long as the Pharisees think that their lives of faith are all about the rules, they'll never experience a life that's been totally transformed. They'll never have that deep faith that Jesus wants us to have. And the same is true for us. The same is true for us as well. So then what's Jesus' answer to the Pharisees' rules? Well, interestingly enough, because some of us might think that he would just condemn the rule-keeping. Interestingly enough, Jesus doesn't condemn the rule-keeping. You know, Jesus doesn't say, "Forget about the rules, dudes, because it's all about what's in your heart." That's not what Jesus says. That's not his attitude. When Jesus actually accuses the Pharisees and he says, "You have neglected justice and the love of God," Jesus says that the proper attitude is to say, "Well, you should have practiced the latter. You should have pursued justice and the love of God without leaving the other stuff undone." So Jesus says you can't neglect the inward transformation of your heart, but you can't neglect the outward obedience either. Right? And so that's the problem we often have today is we think that it's all about our hearts and it doesn't really matter what we do with our bodies as long as we have our hearts in the right place. But Jesus would challenge that. So Jesus is saying that to escape this tomb of shallow faith, two things are important. One is a heart change and two is a habit change. A heart change and a habit change are equally important because in fact, if we don't have outward obedience to God's law, well, the truth is, that'll mess up our lives in many, many ways. If we don't have outward obedience to God's law, then that will just leave the door open for our heart to run after all sorts of things that would displease God. It'll give your heart more opportunity to wander away from the Lord. So we need that outward obedience. But at the same time, if you don't seek the inward transformation, if you neglect justice and the love of God, as Jesus says, like the Pharisees did, if you don't have the inward transformation, then in the end, you're just following more rules. And that's not where we want to be either. So you need a heart change. You need a habit change all at the same time. And without one or the other, without either, you end up back in that tomb of shallow faith. But Jesus' death and resurrection is meant to make us whole. This is what Jesus does in our lives. Jesus' death and resurrection actually creates that total transformation of our lives. And Jesus brings us out of this tomb of shallow faith. Just as he himself rose from the dead, he brings us out of this tomb. And here's how Jesus frees us from this tomb of shallow faith. We know that Jesus died and rose to free us from the burden of God's law, right? We know that none of us can keep God's law perfectly. We know that we sin. But in Christ, we know that we're forgiven. We're made right from the Lord. That part we don't have any problem with. We have a restored relationship with him now. And that's the gospel. That's what actually creates this heart transformation. When we realize all that Jesus has done for us, that changes us on the inside. That makes us want to follow him. That makes us respond in faith. But when Jesus forgives our sins, we have to realize he doesn't make God's law meaningless. When Jesus forgives us our sins, Jesus actually heightens the demands of the law upon us, even as he releases us from its burden. So, for example, where the Ten Commandments tell us not to kill, Jesus says, don't even hate your brother. Where the Ten Commandments tell us not to commit adultery, Jesus says, don't even lust. Jesus actually makes God's law harder for us to keep, even as he saves us from our inability to keep it, to obey it. So what Jesus shows us is that when Jesus shows us how hard it really is to obey God's law, Jesus is actually telling us what God's law is for. Jesus is telling us that God's law really shows us how what a transformed life looks like. if we want to live lives of wellness, if we want to live lives of wholeness, if we want to live our lives in harmony with the way that we have been made to live, well, the answer is do your best to live according to God's law, because that shows us what a transformed life looks like. The Ten Commandments, it's right there. When we do our best to live as God's law directs us to live, we are beginning to live that transformed life. And even though we can't do it totally, we still do our best every day to live within God's will for us. We do our best to make that outward habit change happen. So now that we're in Christ, we see two things happening. The first is that the Holy Spirit transforms us from the inside out. He works through the gospel to make our hearts desire Christ and more of him. And now that we are in Christ, the Holy Spirit also transforms us from the outside in. Transforms us from the outside in. He empowers us and gives us the will to obey all that Christ has commanded us to do. And together, being changed from the inside out and the outside in all at the same time, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of Christ through the Holy Spirit that lets us begin to live that totally transformed life. So then, what does God actually require from our lives? Well, it's pretty simple, really. Jesus tells us in verse 42, this verse we've been looking at the whole time, he says, seek obedience to God's law. He says, seek God's justice and seek the love of God. When he's saying those things, Jesus is actually calling back the words of the prophet Micah, who lived about 700 years before Christ. And Micah says this to the people of Israel, what does the Lord require of you? Simply to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly before your God. To act justly, that's an outside transformation. And to love mercy, to walk humbly with God, those are inside transformations. That's the total transformation together. And when we embrace the work of Christ for us, then it really is a transformation of our lives. Well, then we really are practicing a deep faith. It's not just on the surface, and it's not just in our hearts where no one can see it either. We're practicing a deep faith that shapes all of us, and that people can see. And through this kind of deep faith, Jesus actually shapes who we are and how we live and what we desire, what we want. Through deep faith, we live lives that make sense because we're in harmony with the world and the way we've been created to be. Through deep faith, we actually find meaning and purpose in our lives, and our lives have a reason. We have a reason to be here. Through deep faith, we really discover who we are and we discover who we're meant to be. So we all want to live this life of transformation. We want to live a life of total transformation. And it's Jesus who does that transformation. Jesus transforms us inside and out. Amen. Well, let's stand.